Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of This Woman Can. I am your host, Janice Sutherland, founder and CEO of This Woman Can, the online career network for professional women of colour. Now, before we hit into this week's episode, let me share with you one of the benefits or why I love recording This Woman Can. I love recording it because the women I get to meet, the diversity of women I get to meet from across the Caribbean or of Caribbean descent. And this week is no exception because I'm talking to Lawlette Hudson, who describes herself as an original thinker whose ideas have transformed the effectiveness, leadership and quality of life for many individuals and organisations. She's recognised as a multi-award entrepreneur, winning inventor, executive leadership transition coach, international speaker and a trainer on a mission to support African Caribbean senior professionals and entrepreneurs improve their productivity. And she's also the founder of an organization, a company called One Hand Can't Clap, and it's a leading learning and development company. And she set up in 2000, she set this up in 2000 to raise the attainment level, improve productivity in workplace and schools. And she uses Jamaican Caribbean proverbs to facilitate change management, diversity inclusion, culture, humility, and develop high performing teams. And to date, she's sold over 20,000 copies of these cards. And she's also created the annual Common Ties event that brings people together to share lived experiences and celebrate African Caribbean culture and resilience. And I'm proud to say that I will be participating in that event for 2020. And more importantly, I love that Lawlette is still pursuing her dreams, is still striving for success and still being successful and sharing her knowledge. That's what this is all about. That's what This Woman Can is all about. So don't forget to give me feedback. Who would you like to see as the next guest? Share, review, you know, share with me what you'd like to see in the next forthcoming episodes. And if you want to know more and you want to advance your own career, don't forget you can join the This Woman Can community by heading over to www.thiswomancan.coach. And I really look forward to meeting you there. So without further ado, this week's podcast. Hey everybody, and welcome to This Woman Can, and I am swinging across the pond, but I still have the Caribbean connection with my guest, Lawlette Hudson. Hi Lawlette, welcome to This Woman Can. How are you doing?
Hi Janice, thank you so much for having me. Really looking forward to this conversation we're going to be having. Fantastic. Nice to be speaking to a fellow British individual.
Yes.
Thanks for the opportunity.
What do we call ourselves? Brit Caribbean? Caribbean Brits? What do we call ourselves? We have that dual.
I just call myself Black Brit.
Okay, cool. So Lawlette, tell us about your journey and how you got to where you are today.
Well, I left Jamaica when I was 13. I was brought up in a rural part of Jamaica. And it's a place where people actually see you. You know, that's why I love the whole idea and the culture where people actually see you. Okay. And moving from a very small rural part of Jamaica and then ending up in London, you know, there's a completely culture shock.
Absolutely.
Where people don't see you. People really don't see you. Just step past you. You know, in the Caribbean, people say good morning. Yeah. And in London, you know, so it was a great culture shock for me.
Yeah.
And having a sense of belonging as well. Right. You know, so I went to school in Highgate Wood, which is a really nice part of London. And so, again, you know, the culture, the different aspects of being in different parts of London as well. So, you know, there wasn't that many Black people around.
Yeah.
You know? So, again, it was a different kind of way of being.
Yeah.
And you get to understand the culture because of the situation you find yourself in. And then you start to navigate yourself around the system and understanding what that means. And so I left school. And I went to work for a large insurance company. And there I had three really great mentors, you know, three older white women who really took me under their wings because my job was what you'd call back in the days a Girl Friday.
Right.
And Girl Friday meant that you do everything.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So if the accountant is away, you take the banking to the bank, you know, and if the secretary is away, then you obviously do their work. So I became a really all-rounder, and that has really helped me very, very much, you know, in terms of running my own business now. And then I became a single mother at 17. Right. And, you know, I stayed in that company for about 9 years, which really enables me to take her to nursery, pick her up until she starts big school, you know. So that was really useful for me. And the whole organizational skill, you know, having to work around knowing everybody's job, you know, that skill has enabled me to be who I am today. Then I've always been interested in people's development.
Right.
And I only recognized that recently when I was doing a personal development course and look back when I was 5 to what I'm doing now. Okay. And recognizing that people development has always been there.
Yes.
You know, so I work in universities, I work in corporates, anywhere there's learning and development, that's me. And then in 2000, I decided to myself, after doing a lot of personal development training and, you know, teaching people, I decided to myself to really look at the African Caribbean underachievement conversations that's taking place,
yes.
Underperformance.
Yes.
And then decided to myself to set up my own business.
Okay.
Looking at culture or values or a history.
Yeah.
And combine them into a leadership development model.
Fabulous.
Which enable them to have an all-rounder.
Yeah.
Enable them to understand who they are, what they're up to about, and that's it. So that's what I've been doing since the last 20 years. And yeah, really, really excited about it.
Fantastic. So let me unpack a couple of things just there, because you talked about the differences of being from a rural Jamaica to being big city London. And one of the challenges I always got was people always ask me is how you live big city. How did you leave the UK to come to the Caribbean? Whereas everybody wants to come from the Caribbean to the UK because obviously it's a bigger city. So give us a couple of, just maybe one or two piece of advice you would share for anybody looking to come from the Caribbean to the UK, so how they can fit in culturally.
Based on my experience, you know, I think really know your community, you know, find people who you're familiar with, and you know, connect with them, because I think representations really matter.
Yes.
Because, you know, when you start to see people that look like you, and doing things that you want to do, I think that inspires you.
Yeah.
And I would say, even going back to Jamaica, it's finding out your own tribe.
Yes.
Find out people who you have commonalities with, you know, and hang around them. Who you surround yourself with is really important. You know, and coming from a rural part of Jamaica, it was in the 70s, and there was a strong community, Caribbean community. So, you know, we live in the same houses. So, you know, there was a lot of support.
Yeah.
Where that's dying out. So we no longer have that as such.
Yeah.
So that was very useful to have that connection still, because people still have back home stories.
Yes.
They've only just come. So there was the back home stories, you know, so that still connected you. So when you see a piece of breadfruit, you get excited. You know, when you see a piece of cane, you get excited.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it reminds you of back home.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that culture is dying out. Mm. You know, I think a lot of young people growing up now is not the same like when we were in the 70s.
Right. Right. So talking of culture, you talked a lot. You are a critically acclaimed, multi-award winning entrepreneur. So I want to get that in there. And you created a development program for Black Caribbean or African Caribbean, whatever, Black people to facilitate change management, diversity, inclusion, and much, much more. So tell us about your program and what it consists of and what motivated you to create that.
The key thing, the mission really, is helping people to excel.
Yeah.
You know, really and truly understand where they are. They don't have to be there. And one of the biggest things for most people is, I said, you know, always have to be entrepreneurial in your thinking.
Yeah.
Regardless of where you incorporate, regardless what kind of job you're doing, always remember that it's you doing something different. What makes you unique? What enables you to be such a contribution? You know, I find so many people work in organization and really don't know the bottom line.
Yeah.
They don't know what their contribution caused in terms of you being there.
Yeah.
What impact has it had on the bottom line?
Yeah.
You know, what did you do to cause the company profits or the revenue or the turnover?
Yeah.
What so many people don't understand, they're just there for the work. They're just there to go to work. I said you have to look at what is it that you cause, because when it comes to redundancy, if you don't know what is it that you cause, you'd be first one to go.
Yeah, yeah. Now is, I mean, knowing that, and again, depending on the level, is that the responsibility of the employee to know where they fit in, or is that the responsibility of the leader to demonstrate the difference, that the contribution that employee makes?
That's a really great question. Everyone's a leader.
Yeah.
Everyone's a leader, and you're responsible for your own development.
Yeah.
You know, it's for you as the person to understand, why am I here?
Yeah.
What am I doing? You know? Unfortunately, again, come down to our culture in our community, there's no conversation about being a leader.
Yeah.
That conversation is not being had. Not me. That's not my experience.
Yeah.
Of understanding that, yes, you're a leader. You're going to be the next CEO. You're going to be the one who run corporations.
Yes.
What we were told is get a job.
Yes.
A good job.
Yes.
A decent job.
Yeah.
A job that pays money. And that's it. You know, so there was never anything about, you're going to run the company.
Yeah.
Are you going to be in the C-suite? Are you going to be, you know, the leader of the organization?
Yeah.
It's about get a decent job that pays decent wages.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the shift now, and again, from some of the challenge you've talked about, is there's lots more entrepreneurs. I see a lot of entrepreneurs, definitely in the Caribbean, because it's a lot of small businesses, and they need to see themselves as that CEO of that business. And you're quite right, because the perception of leader is probably big corporate, big office, behind a desk. Whereas if you're in an operation or a business that's making money and you're in charge of it, you're the leader.
Yeah. And what people don't seem to understand, and there's a story about Kennedy when he said, you know, I have a vision to put a man on the moon.
Mm.
And while he was walking in the office space, he saw a janitor, and he said to the janitor, so what are you doing here? And he actually said, listen, I'm here putting a man on the moon.
Yes.
So it's that vision.
Yeah.
It's being able to buy into what the company is doing.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the way how many of us been, you know, you have to be work harder than everyone else.
Yeah.
You have to be 120% better than everybody else.
Yeah.
And so that whole thing is always about fitting in and making sure that you work hard, but not strategically looking at where you're going next.
Right.
So what I find in terms of the people who I coach is that, you know, they reach a plateau.
Yes.
They've gone as far as they can actually go, and they reach this crossroads, and they're hitting the glass ceiling because they want to get promoted, but not understanding what is it they need to do in order to get to the next level.
Yeah.
And the first thing I said is, look at relationships. Who is there in the organization, the relationships? Who is the sponsor who's talking about you when you're not there?
Yes.
The only decisions I make when you're not there.
Yes.
All the time. You know, people are in the room making decisions. You know, the next promotion coming up is going to be Janice, or it's going to be this one. It's somebody having a conversation about you when you're not there.
Yeah.
And understanding who is in your corner.
Yeah. Yeah. And more importantly, are you the one they're going to be talking about? Because you have to be seen. You have to be seen for them to talk about you, almost to seem to be heard. So it's not just what's the conversation. Is have you given them the right things, I hasten to add, the right things to talk about to include you in that conversation? And I think people really underestimate the power of that.
True. Because, you know, that thing I always say, everything is around currency.
Yes.
And the biggest currency you have is your relationship.
Yes.
If any team breakdown, it's the relationship.
Yeah.
So if somebody isn't getting on. It's around the relationships.
Yeah.
You know, managers and managers, it's the relationships.
Definitely.
Everything is based on relationships.
Definitely.
So you've got to look at who have you got great relationships with in the organization and cultivate them.
So thanks for that, Lawlette. Now, as you said, you've transitioned from corporate to entrepreneur, to entrepreneurship, award-winning entrepreneurship. So describe one of the biggest challenges you faced in your career and how you overcame it.
I think one of the biggest things for me is not knowing.
Okay.
You know, that's one of the biggest things is not knowing.
Yeah.
And what I say to people, you know, not knowing for me has been the greatest asset, but it's also been quite fearful as well.
Right.
You know, because, you know, I created a project from scratch. I have no idea what I was doing, mm-hmm. you know, around, you know, I always say there's four components in a business. You know, first of all, you have to know your product inside out.
Yeah.
You have to know how to market it. You have to know how to sell it. And you have to know how to organize all your logistics and the operations around that. You know, so when you first started out, what's your product? You know, how am I going to sell this? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, how am I going to market it? I don't know. And then all the invoices and all the papers and everything is all over the place, disorganization. But after a while, you get to understand the system. And even now, for me, it's the question always, you know, I don't know. Especially yeah. in these uncertain times, there's a lot of not knowing
yes.
what's going to
yes.
happen next.
Yeah.
So you're forever having to be thinking about, you know, what is it I need to do in order to get to the next level, get to the next stage.
Yeah.
Another thing is, will I be still in existence a year from now? Am I going to be around another year? Even though it's 20 years,
yeah.
still having the conversation, because you have to be, you know, really aware of right. what's happening,
yeah.
the trend, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And every day I ask the question, who is it I need to serve?
Yes.
You know, is what I'm doing still as relevant today
yeah.
as it's going to be next year?
Yeah.
No one could envisage what happened this year.
Absolutely.
You know, and as I say to people, the great thing is, always remember, you in your business, you work a year in advance.
Yes.
All the things that you created last year
yeah.
is what I'm actually benefiting from now.
Yeah.
So I don't know what next year is going to be like.
Yeah. And that, I think that's when it comes in. One thing I had to learn moving to transition to entrepreneurship was that patience, because yeah. I'd worked in an organization where everything was just you know, it's quick, fast. And when mm-hmm. it came to my own business, I had to build. So then I had mm-hmm. to learn that level of patience. So you talked about not knowing. One of the things I want to ask, because a lot of women are out there who don't know, but what I find with them quite often is that they don't ask. So did you go alone, or just muddle through working this out, or did you ask? Who did you ask for support?
Well, for me, I don't have any qualms in asking.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who it is,
yeah.
you know, and I know that's a strength.
Yes.
You know, because I'm one of these people is, you know, if I see you doing something, I want to know. I'm very curious. I want to know, what did you do in all of this? The other thing is, I take myself off to conferences and I make sure that I associate with people who are doing.
Right.
You know, I watch podcasts. Yeah. I read.
Yeah.
I make sure that I'm continuously developing myself.
Yes.
Like, for example, when I created the cards, I became a member of the Institute of Directors, because there is a lot of resources in there.
Yeah.
And that was very useful for me as well. So one of the things I learned is, take yourself on. You've yeah. got to take yourself on.
Yeah.
And there aren't many things, you're not going to get it from Google. It's no point you Googling yeah. it. It's not going to happen. You
yeah.
know, you have to go out there and speak to someone.
Right. So if you had to start over from scratch, Lawlette, knowing what you know now, what would you do differently?
What I do differently? For a start, I would have a business plan, you
okay.
know, because for me, I knew what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
In terms of having a structure,
yeah.
in terms of, well, this is how it's going to go, wasn't it? You know,
yeah.
I learn along the way.
Right.
I mess up and I learn along the way.
Yeah.
Now, I would have a system to say A, B, C, D.
Okay.
I didn't have that, you know. And I do believe that even though you have a business plan, now looking at it, you're still not going to work 100%.
Yeah.
But I would have a little bit more structure. So I'll give you an example. When I created the cards, it was, you know, when the publisher, when I would start looking for publishers, they were saying, no, you know, it's too black, you know, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And so I decided to myself, okay, then I would publish it myself.
Right.
I didn't know anything about publishing.
Yeah.
So I took myself off to the British Library and searched, and then I got all the barcodes and everything else.
Yeah.
The other thing is, when I said to the printers, you know, what's the price? And when they gave me a quote, and I looked at it and I thought, okay, so they break it down. If
yeah.
you take 300, then it'd be that. If you take 500, it'd be that. If you take yeah. 500, it'd be that. So when it went to 10,000, and I realized to myself, wow, okay, I'll have 10,000 in, not knowing what 10,000 looked like until when the day when it's going to be delivered.
Yeah.
And the printers rang me and said, have you got a space? And I thought, space for what? You know, for the delivery of the cards. And then she said to me, they're on pellets. And I thought, what's that? You know?
Oh,
and it was, yeah. So you need a warehouse, love. You know, so that was it. So, you know, there was a lot of things. You know, I would say ignorance is bliss at times, not knowing, yeah. you know, yeah. that's it. Because maybe if I knew, I would have prepared differently.
Yes.
And then concerns would probably got in the way
yeah.
of, you know, I need yeah. to do this, I need to know this. Need. And when you don't know, then you just don't know. You don't know what yeah. you don't know.
So I think in that case, if like you from what you're saying, if you had known about what 10,000 cards, you would have started putting all the blocks in your way, your limiting beliefs, imposter syndrome, start kicking in the inner mean girl, telling girl what you're doing. Do you know what you're doing? You got no sense, type of thing, for ordering this kind of thing. So I see what you're saying there. So what do you? So you went after your goal. You went after that. You were oblivious. You knew what you wanted to do. You were steadfast and sure. But what do you think holds women back from going for their goals?
I think one, based on, we analyze too much.
Yeah.
You know, we analyze and comparison, right?
Yeah.
So we would yeah. look at an individual and think, oh my goodness, I want that, but yeah. I could never get that,
yeah.
right? So we compare ourselves and we analyze. And because of that, we talk ourselves out of it.
Right.
You know, whereas with me, I would look like I saw you giving your presentation, Janice, and I was like, wow, amazing woman. Let me go and link with her on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Where somebody else probably would feel intimidated by you
right.
and
right.
not take the necessary step.
Yeah.
Because what we do, we compare.
Yeah.
Not knowing that when you see somebody give a presentation, they probably spend the last 4 weeks practicing.
Very
exactly.
True. Very
exactly.
True.
You
Very
know. True. We don't know what people had to do in order to get to where they're at. And so we assume, you know, I always say, you see somebody driving a brand new BMW. My mother always say to me, never look at what anyone else has got because
yeah.
you have no idea what they had to do in order to
Absolutely.
Get that. You know, so Absolutely. I think comparison and analyzing, that's
yeah.
what stopped many individuals. That's my yeah. experience.
Excellent. Over analytical. There was something there, but I lost my train of thought, but I'll come back to it. So Lolette, share with us a success quote or a mantra that you use and why it's meaningful for you.
You know, that's really, really a great question. And I really appreciate that because there is a quote. When I was 9 years old, I had a teacher in Jamaica and I only realized now that she's only 6 years older than me.
Okay.
You know, by the time she seemed much, much older,
yeah.
you know, I was nine. And she was a mentor. No, I call him a monitor. So she wasn't really a teacher. She was a monitor, you know, whatever that means. She told me when I went, because I went looking for her. Because,
yes.
you know, she inspired me when I was nine. And it was the heights of great men reached and kept were not attained by sudden flight. But they, while their companions slept, were toiling upwards through the night by Longfellow. Right. And that taught me that while other people are sleeping, I'm doing the work.
Yeah.
I'm putting in the work. You know, I'm toiling and continue to do that. So for me, it's that consistency. You
right.
know, I took that from that poem from the age of nine. Yes. So that's it. Consistency is everything. And I always say to my clients, consistency is important because, you know, the bank's open at 9:30. Yeah. And if you look at structures, you know, because what we tend to say is that when you have a business as a black person, nobody knows when you're opening. So you say you're going to open at 9:30 and it just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So that whole thing around consistency, that's how people know who you are.
Yeah.
It's your personal branding.
Yeah.
How you show up is your personal branding.
Yeah. And I think that's really right, true, because I actually just did a post today, and one of the things I said is be consistent in what you're doing, because so many times, go back to what you said, people see people driving the big car, having the fancy house. They don't know what they did to get to that, but they were most of the times, we would say, if they were above board, they were consistent in what they did. They kept on doing it, you know, perfecting it, tweaking it, changing it, but they were always consistent. If the 9:30 doesn't work for the bank because no one's there, you know, and your customers want you to open at 8:30, you say, okay, 9:30 didn't work, but I'm going to open at 8:30 consistently, you know, and it was all that, that, you know, so yeah, I like that. Consistency is definitely key. So, Lorlett, you talked about you moved from Jamaica to the big bad UK when you were 13. So looking back, what advice would you give your teenage self now?
You know, be clear.
Okay.
Be clear. You know, be clear. Because I think I made some choices. Like, for example, think I'm in love. Yeah. You know.
And we've all been there. Come on, we've all been there.
You know, exactly. You know, and then you realize it's not the Mills and Boons book that you're reading around relationships.
Yeah.
You know, being clear. At my age now, I'll be thinking, where's our values? What have we got in common? You know, what's his financial situation like? You know, what's it like with money? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Those are the type of questions I would be asking, you know, not knowing, because that was far removed from any kind of thinking whatsoever.
Yeah.
You know, it's just in love, isn't it?
It's true. And I think that's probably one time you don't want to be consistent, because if you pick the wrong person, don't consistently do it again. So learn. totally understand what you mean then. Love, well, we've all been through it in some guise, you know. And as long as we've learned from it, our mistake, whatever that is, relationships, work, career, whatever, and we can take something from it to move forward, I think that's key.
That's really powerful, because you know it's in the learning. You can make, you know, the whole thing around messing up, and lots of people are scared to fail.
Yes.
Because society is very harsh with you in terms of failing.
Yeah.
Even with the banks, if you mess up, you know, you don't pay your bills in time, then you get blacklisted and you get a judgment against your name and you can't start a business.
Yeah.
And I think that's all wrong.
So what are the three things, Lorlett, that you've learned about yourself during your career?
I am, you know, I've got lots of integrity.
Okay.
I knew that very much about me, you know, very much about time. You know, time is very, very important to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, be my word. Absolutely. You know, be my word and never give up, regardless of what's going on. Committed, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm committed, integrity and excitement. Those
excitement.
Are three things.
Okay, so give excitement. Me expand on excitement for me. I can understand, you know, because if, where does excitement come in?
Because if I replace excitement with fear, I just get on and do it.
Right.
So if I'm fearful about something, I replace it with excitement. What would it be like if I was excited about it?
Right. Like that. I like that. Yeah, if I wasn't scared, if I was excited, what would it look like? And how can I make that? How can I make that happen? I really like that. So again, we are both women of a certain age. Yeah, we've seen a lot, probably got, and still got a lot to do. So describe to our listeners the most impactful personal life reinvention that you've been through.
Made the decision. I had a dream.
Yeah.
And a vision that I wanted to live a life that I had no boundaries, no limitations, right? Yeah. So I wanted to live in the UK and I wanted to live in Jamaica. And I want a business that I can do from anywhere in the world.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So if I decided to myself, wherever I'm going to be, I can still run my coaching business. And I've made that happen. You know, I got a place in Jamaica. And I live between Jamaica and the UK right now.
Okay.
But I could be anywhere. I mean, I was in Venice and I did my coaching there. You know, and I was in Paris and I did my coaching from there as well.
Yeah.
You know, so for me, it's embracing technology. Yeah. And recognizing that 9 to 5 is not it.
Yeah.
You know, the fact of the matter is you can make money from anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, using your natural skills and talents. And for me, that is so freeing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm 64.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day is understanding that most people back in the days when you look at somebody who's 64, you think, oh my God, that person is so old.
Yes, you
know? Now you look at somebody 70, 80,
yeah.
and you just think, wow, there's still a lot going on.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, age is just what you make it to be.
Yeah.
Because I've seen so many people now in the 80s, which is the 60s,
yeah.
and getting on with that. And it's quite liberating to understand that what I'm doing,
yeah.
it's my natural skills and talents. You know, it's nobody else's, it's mine, it's unique, it's what I choose to do.
Yeah.
So I would say that is it. That's the transitional for me.
Yeah.
Is being able to do what I do from my natural skills and talents.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, first of all, I did know you were 64, so kudos to you. You look good, girl.
You
look good. So, but again, and at 64, like you say, something, it conjures up something because people are technophobes or things have changed that rapidly in technology. So for anybody who's a little bit more mature and maybe is a little fearful of technology, because you've given yourself a digital nomad lifestyle when most people are thinking of like, that's not what I want to do. I don't even know what that means. So what be one or two tips you would share with somebody who's a little more mature to get, you know, to bring themselves up to speed or at least be connected with the digital world?
I would say, you know, don't be fazed by it.
Yeah.
Don't be fazed by it. And also, one of the biggest thing I would suggest, you know, if you've got grandchildren,
yeah,
you know, tap into them.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I see 3-year-olds with a mobile phone and I have to think, excuse me, you was here before. You know, 5-year-old, you know, they really are techno, you know, in that sense.
Yeah.
So tap into your grandchildren.
Yeah.
This is the intergenerational age. You know, what they know, we don't know.
Yeah.
And so what we know is being able to share the wisdom, the survival wisdom.
Yeah.
But the technology aspects of it, you know, really tap into the younger generation.
Yeah, that's great. It's great advice. It's really sound advice. So Laulette, we're coming down to our last couple of questions. I'm going to take you out of the hot seat. Where would we find you typically on a Saturday morning at 10 a.m.?
It depends. Either I'm running a training session, I'm doing my coaching. My whole world revolves around my work. And
yeah.
it might sound like, wow, you know, she's working all the time. You know, I got family and friends that would say to me, I don't understand what is it that you actually do? Because,
yeah.
you know, their mindset is you get up and go to work.
Yeah.
You know, for me, I could do 2 coaching calls for the day and that's it.
Yeah.
So it depends on what's that. Or I'm on a webinar or I'm reading something. And now, every time I go on holiday, it's incorporated my work.
Right.
You know, it's
yes.
either
yes.
I'm at a seminar or I'm at a museum, or I'm doing that. So everything I do is my lifestyle.
Right.
It's incorporated in that.
Right. So what do you do for self-care?
Great. That's a good question. Like today, when I had my hair cut, I had my feet done, you know.
Yes.
So it's all of that. It's incorporate a lot of TLC.
Yeah.
Involved in all of that, you know,
yeah.
because you have to take care of yourself. Last week, I took a girlfriend out. It was her birthday. We went down to Excel. They got a nice hotel there. We stayed
yeah.
overnight. We sit there, we chat until morning, have
yeah.
breakfast, and then come out.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes you need to get away from your house.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And even in these COVID worlds, it's still possible. Just find some way to take, have a change of scenery and a change of pace. So Lorlette, let me ask you, what does success feel like to you?
Oh, I love that question. Do you know what success feel like to me? Be in control of my own time.
Yeah.
My own energy, my own everything. I do what I do because it feels good for me. Yeah. And that's why excitement is always there for me, because I'm living on my own terms.
Yeah.
And even if things isn't working, it's still okay.
Yeah.
Because you know what? It's not going to be like this forever.
Absolutely. 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 So I just want to touch on something, because we talked a little bit, and that was almost my last question. I just want to double back a little bit. We talked a bit about you have your own business, you're award-winning, and you produce these cards. What we didn't explain to the listeners or the viewers is what these cards are, what it is. Just take a couple of moments to explain to us, because I love the idea, what it is you do, you've produced.
For me, when I was going out to training, you know, it was very Eurocentric.
Yeah.
You know, and I would get people who don't necessarily look like me delivering training.
Yes.
So I couldn't see myself in there in terms of the stories and, you know, what stops me and my limitations and the way how I was brought up. So I want to incorporate it, my culture, my heritage, my way of being, and all the stories that my mother used to tell me, and my father as well, and grandparents, you know. So things like, if you can't hear, you feel.
Yes.
You know, so, they, you know, they used to incorporate all those saying, you know, if you want good, your nose have to run. So basically, it's, you know, if you want good, you have to persevere and consistency in all of that. So imagine that, you know, you're running a training program, and you drop these little nuggets in there.
Yes.
Straight away, people get it. And even though it might be mixed group or diverse group, everybody has a story.
Yeah.
So I get, and it connects people very quickly.
Yes.
Stories connect. And then when you start to connect, it makes it easier for people to open up. Mm. So you drop a proverb in, and yeah, people just feel a sense of belonging. So yeah, and also the older generation are passing away.
Yes.
And how do we preserve this culture and heritage, these ways, this wisdom?
Yeah.
That's where our values come from.
Yeah, yeah.
Values are tied up in our stories. And so I decided to create 52 of these flashcards and put them into a box so we never loses them.
Okay, fabulous.
And you know, the strangest thing is, I never saw it as an invention. I just wanted to do it.
Okay.
And then somebody contacted me and said, do you know that you invented, you're an inventor? And I thought, oh, you know, and so, yeah, that's where it came about. And then I got an award for it.
And it's called, just share the name of it and where we can get hold
Things
of it.
Things Mama used to say.
Okay. And we can get them from?
www.onehandcantclap.co.uk. So that's onehandcantclap.co.uk.
Absolutely.
That's the website.
Fantastic. So if people want to get in touch with you or connect with you, Lorlette, how can they do that?
Go on the website, you know, www.onehandcardclap.co.uk, or on LinkedIn or on Facebook.
Excellent, excellent.
Or by the social platforms.
So I will be sure to make sure everybody has all the links and can connect with you. That was my last question, Lorlette. Thank you so much for being my guest this week. We probably could have talked for hours, but I have a time limit. So thank you so much for your time today.
It's my pleasure. And, you know, I hope somebody got something from it. Anybody that's thinking, you know, start your own business, you know, yeah, it's going to be hard, but it's rewarding. And I was, you know, my last piece of advice is go for it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, you must have been looking over my shoulder today, because I said exactly the same thing on another post, but never mind. We've had great minds think alike, Lorlette.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
You're welcome. So we'll catch up.